Welcome to a podcast of Aurelia Community Church, where we desire to bring the whole gospel to the whole person, to the whole world, proclaiming the liberating power of the gospel as we grow, serve, and go. Join us in this message as we look to the scriptures, seeking to be transformed into the image of Christ.
This morning we're wrapping up a four-part message series we've been calling Small Things, Big Difference. And I want to bring us back to this one key thought that's circulated throughout the entire series, a thought that propels us forward into more of what God wants for us, more than we've experienced before. And you may think, that's a pretty big statement, but I truly believe this. You know, so often we look at people who are further along the journey than we are, or people who've accomplished things, or more successful, have achieved more, and we sometimes feel so helpless, so weak, and wondering, what are the big things that they're doing that enables them to accomplish all that, and I'm not getting anywhere close. And the key thought has been, it's not often the big things, but so often the little things that no one sees that results in the big things that everyone wants. It's often the small things, the little things that no one sees that results in the big things that everyone wants. And so we've been talking about our thoughts. And how they shape us, and how they direct us, and how that has to spill out into our words. And then that in turn spills into our habits. And we're going to use the word disciplines actually this morning, because what we repeatedly do is who we become. It's not enough just to be thinking good thoughts or thinking certain thoughts, though it certainly begins there. We need to be rooted and grounded in who God says we are. But then it overflows into our words. And we've all met people who say things about, I'm a believer, but their words give no indication of that because they spew all sorts of garbage from their mouths. But then it spills into our actions and how we actually live. And so I want to start today by talking about discipline. So how many would say they're a very disciplined person? Okay, we got a couple. Okay, how many are not very disciplined? There, don't be so undisciplined that you can't even raise your hand. let me just say, to those of you who say that you don't feel very disciplined, let me say you really are very disciplined. It's just you're disciplined about different things. In fact, we're all disciplined in different ways. In fact, I was having a discussion with somebody recently, and this guy was saying, Mike, you don't understand. I'm not disciplined at all. I mean, look at me. He says, I'm overweight. I eat too much. I'm lazy. All I'm really good at is playing video games. And I said, okay, let's think about it. You are very disciplined. Said, no, I'm not. Yeah, yes, you are. Think about it. What are you disciplined to do? And the light bulb went on. Yeah, you're right. I'm disciplined to hit the snooze button every single day. I'm disciplined to play my video games. I'm disciplined to eat the snacks all the time. I'm so disciplined I have never missed a meal in my entire life. You know, he's disciplined. We're all disciplined. The question is, do we have the right disciplines? And so what I want to begin with this morning is to give you a very simple, but I think an accurate definition of discipline. Discipline is simply choosing between what we want now and what we want most. Discipline is choosing between what we want now and what we want most. Because if you look at people who are successful in any area of their life, you look at their lives, you'll find they're disciplined in those things. Maybe you say, I've got a good marriage. And if you say that, then I promise you there are some consistent disciplines. You're eating dinner together as a family. You have conversation going. Maybe you're in a life group together. You get away on a regular basis to reconnect as a couple. You're apart from the kids. Everything's not about them. Maybe you're successful financially. And if you are, then you know you don't spend more than you take in. You know that you're generous. You're investing wisely. Those are disciplines. The opposite's true as well. And anywhere that you're not succeeding in, you've got some disciplines. They're just not healthy disciplines. We can be so inconsistent in our disciplines. And some of you say, you know, I'm going to start to work out this fall. And so you start. You get going. And you do it on Monday. You get up early and you go to the gym. And you do the same thing on Tuesday. On Wednesday, well, my shoulder's kind of hurting, so I'm going to take a rest day. Or Thursday's your scheduled day to go for a run. Well, it's a little cold outside, so you take a rest day. And what you started off so well at, you soon stop. Or I'm going to be disciplined in my eating. And you, on Monday, you eat healthy. And Tuesday, you eat healthy. Wednesday, you're going strong. You got some momentum going on Thursday and Friday. And then on Saturday, you're rushed. And you got to take the kids here and there. And suddenly, the golden arches start calling your name. Or as my granddaughter, Ursula, calls it, the yellow M. She has no idea what it is, but she just likes the fact it's a yellow M. And the next thing you know, you supersized your meal once again, and you've lost that momentum. You started strong, but you end up so inconsistent. Let me take you to the Apostle Paul. Apostle Paul in the New Testament, probably one of the most disciplined people that ever lived, a man who wrote most of the majority of the New Testament, apart from the Gospels, an effective church leader, spiritual leader, and he struggled with the same issues. Listen to Romans 7, verse 15. Paul says, I don't really understand myself. Anyone identify? Yeah, I don't really understand myself. I want to do this, and then I blow it. Well, Paul says, I don't really understand myself. I want to do what is right, but I don't do it. Instead, I do what I hate. I want to do what is right, but I can't. I want to do what is good, but I don't. I don't want to do what is wrong, but I do it anyway. You know what I'm talking about. You know you should eat an apple, but the Doritos are calling your name. You want to do the right thing, and you end up doing something different. Paul says in verse 20, if I do what I don't want to do, and then he says this, which is really interesting. If I do what I don't want to do, I'm not really the one doing it. Okay, then Paul, what is it? Who is it? He says, actually, it's the sin living in me that does it. It's a sin living in me that does. You can't miss this. You see, by nature, we're not self-disciplined people. By nature, our sin pulls us away from what God wants. Our sin nature bends us towards what is wrong rather than doing what is right. We want to do what's right, but our sin nature lures us away from God and tempts us to do the stuff we know we shouldn't do. And so Paul says in verse 24, oh, what a miserable person I am. Who will free me from this life dominated by sin and death? And he begins to answer that with answers the question. This is so important. Who can help me overcome this temptation? Who can help me walk away from the sin? Who can help me be more consistent? Who can help me have the right disciplines? And he says in verse 25, thank God. The answer, he says, and if you notice, it's not in a principle, but the answer is in a person. Who can deliver me? The answer is Jesus Christ, our Lord. With His help, I can be different. With His help, I can change. With His help, with His power, I can be transformed. Here at OCC, we often talk about our core values, things that are important. And one of those key core values is truth and meaning. God is true and has made His truth known in His Word and in the person of Jesus Christ. You know, that's why we talk so much about reading the Scriptures. And we're starting on this week to go through the Gospel of Luke. And there's an insert in your bulletin that has a reading schedule. We're going to read one chapter a day, 5 days a week, and you're probably going to miss one day, and so there's nothing scheduled for the Saturday and Sunday so you can catch up. So, reading the Gospel of Luke and letting God's Word speak to us and let it transform us. So there's some extra copies at the Welcome Center. You can also download it from our website or from the OCC web Facebook group. See, Jesus is not just an historical figure that lived some 2,000 years ago. We can know Him. And we can know what He says about us in terms of the truth. And so there's a yellow-colored insert at the Welcome Center, a handout, called Who Am I in Christ? And just highlights a number of scriptures that remind us that we're God's children, that we're loved by Him, that He calls us by name. And let me encourage you, if you haven't got a copy of that, to pick one up. You see, we become Spirit-disciplined, not simply self-disciplined. We become Spirit-disciplined because God's Spirit is in us as followers of Jesus. And He empowers us to do what we're incapable of doing ourselves. And the Holy Spirit, God's Holy Spirit, leads us to choose what we want most over what we want now. That long-term health over that quick snack food. Some of you have been trying for years to get free, and you've lived in this bondage, and you've tried everything you know, and you're never going to become self-disciplined enough because our bent is towards sin. But when God's Spirit has allowed free reign in our lives, the same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead, you can be Spirit-disciplined to do what God wants you to do. Paul says, who can deliver me from this body of death? Thank God it's found in Jesus Christ our Lord. By the power of Christ, we choose what we want most over what we want now. Sometimes we train our bodies to be disciplined in what matters most. We saw a couple of weeks ago that we take captive every thought, not just the spiritual or religious thought, but every thought. We let our thinking and our speaking be the way that Jesus would think and speak if He were you. I love how Dallas Willard puts it. He says, discipleship is the process of becoming who Jesus would be if He were you. Discipleship is the process of becoming who Jesus would be if He were you. So how do we do that? How do you move from where we are to becoming disciplined in the right disciplines? Let me read you another passage of Scripture. Paul writes this to the church at Corinth. And Corinthian church was a messed up church. There was all sorts of stuff going on. But he talks about running a race. And when he gives this illustration of running a race, the Corinthians would have been very very familiar with that because they were known as what was called the Isthmian Games. Corinth is on an isthmus or a peninsula or a connection. And this race for them, these Isthmian Games, were like patriotic pride. It was the Super Bowl and the Olympics all wrapped up into one. When you won, you represented your community, your team, and there was tremendous pride in all of this. And so Paul writes in 1 Corinthians 9, verse 24, he says, don't you realize that in a race, everyone runs, but only one person gets the prize? These people who were selected to compete were selected for a 10-month training camp. And those athletes who were selected, and for 10 months they would train. They would train so that they would run to win. Paul says all athletes are disciplined in their training. They do it to win a prize that will fade away, but we do it for an eternal prize. And so the athletes were disciplined. They trained hard in order to win. They weren't running in place. They're running to max out the victory. And we're not running for an earthly prize. We're running to see God glorified. And so these athletes are disciplined in their training, and they would know these athletes were chosen for 10 months, and they would have gone to the gymnasium, which is not fit for life or anything. The gymnasium was the most prominent building in the community. It was where they went to be training hard, and they'd put on a very strict diet. No alcohol, and no junk food, and only what would build up their body, and they would be exposed to extreme cold and to extreme heat. I think they moved them all to Ontario for a period of time. So the body would learn to perform in any condition. They were disciplining their body to win. And they were so into this race. It sounds crazy, but they actually strip off all their clothes and run naked so there'd be nothing that would hinder them. I'm actually glad we don't do that today when we run a race. So if you read Hebrews 12:1, the author of Hebrews says this, let's throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. Let's run with perseverance the race marked out for us. So everything that hinders. In the context of the race, it was the clothing. But in our context, anything that drags us away from what God wants, anything that causes us to be self-focused rather than God-focused. Verse 25, we're back in 1 Corinthians 9, says, they do it to win a prize that will fade away. But we do it for an eternal prize. We do it for a crown that will never fade away. See, what were those runners running for? That was the pride and the glory and all of that. But the prize was the wreath of leaves. Yeah, congratulations, you won. Here's some leaves. But as followers of Jesus, we're running for a much bigger prize. Be able to stand in the presence of God. And hear the words, well done, thou good and faithful servant. It's not just self-discipline. It's not just pulling our bootstraps up. We have a secret weapon. We're spirit-disciplined. The Spirit of God disciplines us. The Spirit of God helps us overcome the power of sin. The Spirit of God helps us to get our eyes off our ourselves and to see others. The Spirit of God enables us to step boldly into the ministry that God has for us. It's found in Jesus Christ our Lord. Paul says in verse 26, he says, I run with purpose in every step. I'm not just shadowback boxing. I'm not fighting against an imaginary enemy. There's a real enemy out here who longs to kill and to steal and destroy. But I'm being trained and equipped with the power of God in me, with no weapon formed against me. So in verse 27, I discipline my body like an athlete, training it to do what it should. Train my body, train my mind, train my thinking to do what it should. And so as we thought about words and thoughts over the last couple of weeks, you see, not every thought that comes into your head is good. Not every thought that comes into your mind is from God. And even stuff from God and good stuff is not necessary to be spoken to others. God gives us wisdom. And God gives us spirit to train us, to discipline us, to equip us. He disciplines us to shut our mouths. He disciplines us into what needs to be spoken and when it needs to be spoken. And not even everything that's true is to be spoken. And so Paul says, I discipline my body like an athlete, training it to do what it should. Spirit discipline. And the Spirit of God helps me discipline my body, not to do what it wants to do, but ultimately what will glorify God. And when you get this, I'm choosing what I want most over what I want now. And suddenly you're running with purpose in every step. And you take a step. You know, I'm going to say no to this food and say yes to this healthy stuff. I'm going to say no to this financial temptation to buy this thing and say yes to I need to live within my means. I'm going to say yes to loving my wife like Jesus loved the church. I'm going to say yes to raising my children in a way that develops them and matures them in Christ. I'm going to say no to speaking angry, hurtful words. Say yes to life-giving words. See, when you wake up this morning, do we give thanks that we wake up with the power of God, the Spirit of God alive in us, and make that decision to glorify God each and every day? Run with purpose, step by step by step. God directing and ordering my steps. Spirit of God leading me. Yeah, let's be real. I'm weak. I want what's convenient and easy, what helps me feel good. But even more than that, I want what brings God glory, because Christ dwells within me. And some of you are probably thinking, okay, but yeah, you're the pastor, you're the preacher, you can do those sort of things. You know, you don't know me then. The power of sin is just as real in my life as it is in anybody's. If you don't believe me, ask Janice. See, the power of sin to lure me to do the wrong thing is as real as the power of sin in you. Naturally, we're not self-disciplined. But we become spirit-disciplined. The Spirit of God shapes us and disciplines, helps us to walk in the ways that He has for us. By the power of Christ, we're disciplined to choose what matters most over what we want most now. Well, let me give you an example. I read a book probably about a year and a half ago called The Power of Habit. And in it, the author talks about what he calls keystone habits. And keystone habits are those habits that exist in our lives that create other positive habits, or positive momentum, he calls them. If you compromise on those things, suddenly there's a negative spiral and you start to go downhill. There was a blog post where somebody was responding to this book and talked about their keystone habits. And he said that one of his keystone habits was to floss. And he says, as I write that, there are dental hygienists all over the world ready to worship God. So he writes, you need to understand, I hate to floss. For me, that's the first thing I feel like quitting doing. But when I floss, he says, guess what I feel? He says, when I floss, I feel disciplined. Therefore, I eat better. And when I'm eating better, I feel like working out because I have momentum. And because I'm working out and eating better, then I sleep better. And because I'm sleeping better, I wake up early and I have time to read my Bible. And therefore, I sense the closeness of God. And when I go to the office, I feel I'm being led by the Spirit of God because I read my Bible. Therefore, I'm highly productive in my day. And I leave work early and go home. And my wife is like, why are you home early? And I said, because I love you. And she says, I love you too. And, you know, then 1 + 1 = 6. And suddenly, everything is good. Why? Because I floss. But then he goes on, he says, when I don't floss, I don't feel so good about myself. Therefore, I don't eat good, and I don't work out, and I don't sleep as well as I should. So I wake up late, and I don't have time to read the Bible. And so when I go to the office, I'm not in the spirit, I'm in the flesh, and so I chew people out. Therefore, I'm not being very productive, and so I have to stay later. And therefore, I know when I get home late, my wife's not going to be happy. She's going to be ticked off. So I'm driving home too fast, and a police officer goes to pull me over, but I don't want to stop, so I try to outrun him. And they create a barricade, and they arrest me and put me on the ground for resisting arrest. I'm in the newspaper and the church falls apart. Why? Because I didn't floss. Okay, maybe he was exaggerating a little bit, but you get the point. When God helps us choose what we want most over what we want now, it creates a forward spiritual momentum in our lives. We're led by the Spirit of God, running with purpose in every single step, running for a race that really matters, an eternal prize. And so we discipline our body, we discipline our thinking, we discipline our words like an athlete would, and we're going to glorify God in all that we do. And so, as we wrap up, I want to ask two questions. For the first one to ask is, what do you want most? What do you want most in life? It's a simple question. Probably most of you have something right near the top of your head, as I said. I want to get married. I want to get my cholesterol down. I want to lose 30 pounds. I want to get close to God. I want to be free from pornography. I want to get out of debt. Whatever it is, write that down. What do you want most? The second thing we need to talk about that ties into that is going to be a discipline. You know, we've talked about our thoughts and making every thought captive under the control of Jesus. We've talked about our words and speaking words that are life-giving rather than life-taking. This morning I want to talk about a discipline. Now, let me ask a question that will help you determine what one discipline you need to add to your life. The question is, what do you need to do now to have what you want most? What do you need to do now to have what you want most that will lead you towards that? You know, if your big goal was, I want to get in shape, then maybe you need to hire a trainer. Put some money on the line, and guess what? You're going to become accountable, and you're going to go to the gym 2 or 3 times a week. Maybe you need to use the Gospel of Luke reading planning and get a couple of friends to hold you accountable and say, hey, can you check in with me every 2 or 3 days to see how I'm doing on my scripture reading to help you draw closer to God? Maybe you need to get connected with a life group to build some new relationships and some connection, and you need to take that step. Maybe you need to stop hand-hauling around your finances and put God first and make those tough decisions know, we really don't need the super duper cable package, you know, because we can't afford it. You drop that stuff. Maybe you need to clean out your pantry and get rid of the Twinkies and all the chips or whatever other stuff you've got stored there and start eating healthy. Maybe you need to commit to a date night with your spouse so you reconnect with them and start to rebuild and strengthen your marriage. Maybe you need to take all of your devices, your computers and your iPads and your phones and clean them out so you no longer have access to pornography. Because when you know that when you have access, you get into trouble. And you discipline yourself to close that door. Maybe you need to start praying with your kids every night and commit to spend that time with them and be praying for them. I don't know what it is for you. That's between you and God. But when you seek God and pray, God, this is what I believe you want most for me. What one thing do I need to do now that will help me have later what you want me to have most? I don't have the ability to do it. But thank God that Christ Jesus does. I'm not self-disciplined, but I'm spirit-disciplined, and His Spirit is guiding me. See, it's the small things that no one sees that result in the big things that everyone wants. So many of you selected a word that's sort of shaping this fall for you back 3 or 4 weeks ago. Don't despise the days of small beginnings, because the Lord rejoices to see the work begin. Then we talked about our thoughts. Our life always moves in the direction of our strongest thoughts. And that's why we take captive every thought and we make it obedient to Jesus Christ. Because there's all sorts of garbage, all sorts of junk, all sorts of okay stuff and good stuff that filter into our heads. But God reminds us to be rooted and grounded in His truth, to think on those things that are excellent and pure and lovely, and allow God to renew our mind. And then we talk about our words, because words have the power of life and death. Therefore, Paul says, or the Gospels say, we don't let any unwholesome talk come out of our mouths. And there's lots of times when we need to zip it, because it's not wholesome. It's not words that build others up. It's words that tear down. We want to change the life we have. We have to change the thoughts we have. And if we want to change the life we have, we have to change the words we speak. If we want to change the life we have, we need to change the disciplines and those habits and those actions. Because we discipline our bodies like an athlete in training. Training it to do what it should. Running with purpose every single step. Because the sin in us so easily takes us off course. But Christ in us keeps us on track. Therefore, we ask the power of God's Spirit to do what we cannot do. We're not simply self-disciplined, but Spirit-disciplined. And when we follow the Spirit, when we walk in step with the Spirit, we can be faithful in those little things. Let's pray. Father, help us to be faithful in the small things. Help us to choose between what we want now and what you want for us most. Father, I pray that this week that you would be reminding and calling and speaking those action steps. So that we can walk in step with your Spirit. Knowing that even in these small steps, small consistent areas of discipline, your Spirit empowers us to move forward with your momentum. Because it's all about being conformed to the image of your Son. And so Lord, speak to us. Show each one here that one small thing you want to do in us that would make a big difference in our relationship with you and the impact we have in this world, glorifying you with the lives that you've blessed us with. And so, Lord, we pray this that you would speak and that we would hear, that you would show us and that we would respond in obedience. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
We pray that God will use this message to strengthen your faith and draw you into a deeper relationship with Jesus. If you are interested in other sermons or want to know more about Aurelia Community Church, please visit our website at www.occweb.org.